sincerely Reese, and this is my podcast. I would have started sooner, but I was sitting on my ass. No, I'm just playing. I'm hella productive, but not in ways everyone finds constructive. Content? I don't know. My real plan is just to go with the flow, you know, and tell my truth about my family, making music, self-care, and who I strive to be. Some people say, you don't talk. That's not true. The truth is, I just don't talk to you. So antisocial? Not really me. I'm just selective with whom I exchange energy. This here is my journey, no longer misunderstood. Welcome to my podcast, kinda hippie, kinda hood. What's up? Welcome back to the Kinda Hippie, Kinda Hood podcast. I'm your host, Siri Larice. Today on the show, I am diving into the topic of self-care and yoga as we enter this new decade. Daily yoga and meditation greatly contribute to my well-being. And a common phrase I hear from my friends is that they're stressed and they don't feel like they have time to better manage their self-care, or they can't do yoga, or I'm not flexible enough for yoga. So I invited my friend Consuelo here, who is a yoga teacher and healer, to join us on the show to share a bit about her yoga and self-care journey. And hopefully she can share some tips with you about how you can personally implement yoga into your daily well-being as well. Welcome, Consuelo. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Siri. Hey. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So we connected on Instagram like a year or two ago.
Oh my gosh. We sure did. Yeah.
The listeners, neither one of us really can remember like what the line of communication was to unify us. We have a ton of similar interests, like social justice, environment, definitely a mutual respect for yoga.
Yes.
And so I'm so glad to have met you online and in person. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, that was so exciting. It was so exciting to finally meet you in real life and be like, I'm a real person.
My friends, it's pretty cool. So will you start by sharing a bit about yourself with our listeners?
Yes. So I'm Consuelo. I live in Long Beach. I've been here my whole life. And I started practicing yoga about 8 years ago. And I loved it so much. And so I knew right away that I wanted to share it because it made such a big impact in my life. I do have a 9-to-5. I'm just at the point where I am, you know, I'm really drawn to just do this full time. It's what excites me so much as far as just talking about yoga and health and wellness. It started with me because I didn't have health insurance and I had a health crisis, a mental health crisis. I was hospitalized and I had to see a psychiatrist and take medicine. So I was on medicine for about 2.5 years, but pretty much right away, pretty much leaving the hospital, I was like, I just feel like I'm stressed out. Like, I feel like I wasn't managing like my mind or anything well. Like, I had nothing in place to journal or like seek therapy or really doing anything. I was a newlywed. I was really stressed out. And I was just like, it was all in my mind. I had anxiety. I didn't know I had anxiety. I just knew that I felt like crazy. And I don't like that.
Anxiety in itself, right? You feel so outside of yourself.
Yes.
But everything is so internalized and so overwhelming. I completely understand that.
Yeah.
So how did you get to your yoga journey from there?
Yeah. So I left the hospital and then I had to go home and I could not go back to work. I was on a 72-hour hold in the hospital. I left, couldn't go back to work. I couldn't get an appointment to see the doctor for about a month. So I was at home for a month. And so I was on my little Hulu app and there was this little yoga recording thing shot in Jamaica. And it was cheesy, but perfect. And yoga was something I was interested in, I think when I was like 16 years old, and someone was like, don't do that. Like, Actually, okay, I was at church and someone was like, don't do that. Like, it's not, like, I don't know, Jesus doesn't like yoga. It's
Right.
bad.
The
And so,
uninformed guidance.
yes. And so I avoid, I, as 16, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And like, I did Pilates and, you know, I've danced my whole life. So I've always been very much like in my body. And so I was like, oh, I want to try this thing. And then so I avoided it until I was 26. So for 10 years I was
Wow.
like, ooh, there's this thing. So I was at home and I literally like I journaled every single day for a really long time, just like, you know, just kind of trying to organize my thoughts at that point. And then I would do a practice every day for about 30 minutes to an hour. And just right away it just felt really good to stretch and breathe and like you know, like I said, I've always been really physical, so like the movement wasn't difficult for me. I'm naturally flexible or you know, strong. So but it felt really good. It felt really good to move my body. And then I also while in the hospital discovered Codependence Anonymous, which is a support group, which is similar to like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, but for literally codependency, like for emotions and you know how you relate to people. And I was like, oh my God, I'm third generation codependent. Like I've learned this behavior, you know, from my mom and my grandmother. And then of course you recognize it in everyone, like, oh, we're all actually codependent to a degree. You know, we need to be in our life and our society. But mine was to a point where it was impeding my life. And so, so doing yoga every day, journaling every day, and going to a support group and just literally talking to people and being like, oh my gosh, I'm actually not crazy. This is actually like these things that I think are actually really common. Like I am a people pleaser. I want to fix people. I am a perfectionist. Like this stuff isn't healthy or good, and it makes me feel really crappy.
And
So
it's
yeah.
very common. I think it's so
Yes.
often not spoken about. And I think it's almost taken for granted sometimes that the humanism that connects us all is
Yes.
we've all had some sort of experience that maybe have left us feeling traumatized in some way. And I think
Yes.
when people hear the word trauma, they think it has to be some big, huge thing. Well, sometimes it is big and huge in the eyes of other people, and sometimes it's small in the eyes of other people, but trauma's trauma, you know,
Yes,
and
yes.
healing has to take place within us in order for us to get past those barriers. So I think it's so important to that you've acknowledged that with yourself and you found a good path to like get your heart healed from that, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, so it's a blessing that I didn't have health insurance, honestly. You know, I really, I just the way everything worked out was just like I just kind of had to figure it out on my own. So like I googled, like I discovered cognitive behavioral therapy, therapy CBT. So I was like, okay, I'm just reading stuff and I'm like, okay, so I'm reframing my thoughts and I've always been interested in psychology. So I was like, okay, this stuff makes sense to me. Like I'm gonna go get therapy. So I got therapy. Then I started just seeking out all these different healing modalities. And then I had really bad allergies. So a couple years go by and I had really bad allergies and I, you know, I'm just on Dr. Google and I find oil pulling. And I was like, oh, well, okay, I'm gonna try this oil pulling where I, you know, swish coconut oil around in my mouth for about 20 minutes a day, spit it out, and it's supposed to remove the bad bacteria from my mouth, which, you know, your mouth and like that whole your mouth, your nose, that your eyes, it's like the entry point to your body, right? So like all disease comes into your body through that little portal. And so it was like you clean up this space and it allows your body to heal itself. And I was like, what? Okay, this is wild. I'm gonna try it. So all I have to do is swish oil for like 20 minutes. Like, okay, I could do that. So a week
Yo, the
goes
first
by.
time I tried oil pulling,
Yes. Did you gag? Was it surprising?
it was the temperature exchange, the temperature texture exchange.
Yes.
Got me good. Go
And
ahead.
it gets so viscous and you're like, "What?"
Yes.
It's terrible. But it's but so good. It's so good. So And my allergies, I mean, my allergies were to the point where I was driving my coworkers crazy, you know, because I'm in a cubicle, I'm in an old building, like it was just, it was so dusty. And I would sneeze literally for, you know, maybe 10 minutes at a time straight, just nonstop. It was really, really bad. And I know I was getting on everybody's nerves. I was miserable. So I was willing to try anything because I was taking like allergy medicine, and I was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't want to take a pill. There's this, like, something different has to be good for me. So a week into oil pulling, my allergies were gone, like 95% improvement.
Isn't that crazy?
I was like, whoa. From freaking swishing oil right. in my mouth. I was like, okay, right. this is wild. And that, so I kept going because I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like, my skin cleared up, my period got regular. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm gonna be real vulnerable. I had a weirdo little hair growing out of my cheek. That went away. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, my hormones.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, because I was not on birth control anymore. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my body was kind of like regulating itself.
Absolutely.
You know? So it was so interesting. And I think I oil pulled every day for about 2 years. And then I finally stopped, but I do, right now, you know, your body, like, you start feeling really good and you're like, cool, I don't need anything anymore. And your body's right. like, guess what? Yeah, huh? Yeah, you do. Like, like, you're alive every day all the time. Like, you actually do need to, like, take care right. of your body all the time.
The work doesn't stop.
Yeah. But so that was so cool. And so that kind of got me interested in Ayurveda, right. which is the, you know, the sister science to yoga. So like the life science part. And then, so I started learning about like my constitution. Like, what does that mean? Like, oh, I'm very mm-hmm. earthy. And so, you know, I should avoid certain foods or eating certain things make me feel really good. And I'm like, oh, this sounds really good. So it was just this natural process of just with each thing that I learned, it kind of opened me up into something else. And then it's like, oh, we've got like energy healing and sound baths yeah. and like all this stuff. And so it's really, I mean, it's been 8 years of, I mean, I'm trying all kinds of stuff under the sun and all kinds of, you know, natural healing modalities. Cause to me, I'm like, okay, Ayurveda has been around for 5,000 years.
You know, ages.
Forever. And yep. Western medicine has been around for 100 years, a little mm-hmm. over 100. And now I'm not anti-Western medicine. Like, it's, you know, my mother had health issues, and that literally saved her life. Like, I took medicine when I needed it. I'm not anti-medicine. Sure. I'm not anti-Western medication, but like, let's not act like, you know, the Japanese haven't had Reiki, or that Chinese medicine hasn't existed, or, you know, that, you know, India doesn't have Ayurveda. I mean, it's just.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you bring up a really good point, because there's a big common misconception with what yoga is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for people to understand that it goes far beyond just like the physical asana. It's a completely yes. way of life and mm-hmm. well-being and mindfulness. That I've personally found has connected me, completely grounded me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like my gardening and mm-hmm. yoga path are kind of one in the same, because it all just starts from the root of being firmly planted, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly.
How has your yoga practice then affected your healing and your relationships with others?
Oh my God. I mean, yoga, I'm not exaggerating. Yoga.
I know. I mean, I invited you because
no, it saved
yoga
my
is
life.
A big deal. Same. it is a big deal. It really is. And yeah. I don't take the benefits of yoga lightly, because my yoga practice started right after I had my son, and I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And he was awake 19 plus hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. I was losing it. And yeah. I was, I'm not a napper, and it turns out neither is he. And
so... awesome.
Yay. Yes. Besties. So, I needed to find a way to rejuvenate myself awake, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got I just started researching and I learned about yoga nidra, and that was pretty much the gateway into relaxation and mindfulness for me. And then from there, once I started to get a little more sleep, I was more interested in the physical asana portion of the program. So I definitely get that. So please, how has it affected your relationships and how you, you know, move through?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm a different person, you know. I mean, it really, through the practice. And so I do, when I teach in new spaces and with new students, I do like to acknowledge the fact that, one, you know, I'm a Latina in the United States teaching something that has been around for thousands of years and originates in India, you know. So I do always like to be reverent to that. Like, you know, this is that it's a part of a culture. It's deeply enmeshed in the culture. It's not a religion. It's not a cult. It is a way of it's a way of life. It's referred to as the eight-limbed path. Meaning, you know, you have codes of conduct. So you have the namas and the niyamas, which is, you know, how you act, out in the community, right? So you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, things like that. And then how you, like, your code of conduct with yourself, like, how do you show up for yourself? Like, being kind to yourself, taking care of your body, you know, taking care of your body. And then, so you do have the physical asana, which is what most people picture, you know, when you say yoga, they picture like, oh yeah, you have your leg touching your head. Like, yeah, okay, cool. That too, but that's not the whole thing.
Right.
Breath work is one whole arm of yoga. So pranayama or pranayama. You also have one pointed focus, withdrawing of the senses, right? So going really inward, because the whole point is to connect you to your breath. Connect you to this moment, connect you to source, right? Which could be universe, the God, you know, God or whatever, or your higher self, you know, and then samastiti, it's like, what? Enlightenment is the last one. Or meditation is one. So it's, you know, the physical portion of it is one part of it. And it's just, there's so much, and the history is so rich, and there's so much, I mean, you could spend your entire life studying, you know, the yoga scriptures and everything. And it's, I mean, there's just so much. It's a really rich, rich practice.
It is. It's so special. And I didn't, you know, when I started learning more about yoga, what I didn't know was how it would change my relationships with other people. And also, as I ventured down my sustainability path and really coming into like full beingness with my personal calling, I'm noticing where certain relationships don't align with my yoga path, and it's tough because that's a whole different kind of healing and a whole different kind of acknowledgement that I wasn't expecting to be confronted with.
It's really interesting. And just to, so just to answer your question, the way that I show up different, I have so much joy in my life today. Like, it's just wild. Like, I, I have, you know, I do still deal with, anxiety. And like, I do, like, my life is not perfect. I definitely have like issues and things and like fights and like, trust me, like the way the I don't know if I can cuss, the shit that shows up in my life now.
You can cuss.
Like, the shit that I deal with now is like the me, you know, 5 years ago could not handle the kind of crap that I'm going through now.
No doubt.
But it's the thing of like your baseline changes, meaning I'm not too concerned with like happiness. I'm more concerned with being content, with being just really firm within myself, because emotions are fleeting, right? So like happiness, when I'm happy, like I am in it. Like I, oh, like I can show up and I can look you in your face and like I can laugh really way too loud and really piss everybody off around me, because I'm like, God, you know, like it's, I'm able to like show up to my life and show up to present moments like I never have before, because I used to feel, you know, my mind was everywhere but where I was at, right? So I was thinking about the past. I was thinking about the
past
future.
And future.
I was thinking about guilt. I was worrying. Like I just had, like, literally, my mind was so bogged down that I, you know, I couldn't like I forgot, you forget that you have a body. Like right now, you're
Yeah.
sitting there, like, what is your body doing? Right now, I'm sitting on the floor, you know, like I can feel my butt on the floor.
Yep.
You know,
Grounded.
yes, like so we forget, like we live our life like literally from the top of our head to our chin, right? And we think everything
Yeah.
happens there. And we forget that we're moving in 3D space. We forget that we're interacting with other humans. And so yeah, like my life isn't any easier, but I am just moving through it with a different ease and like just peace within me of like when something shitty is going on, I'm like, okay, like this is gonna last for, I don't know, maybe a few more minutes and then I'm gonna be all
Right.
right. Like, and then it'll be
Right.
over, right? 'Cause the
Yeah.
thing is, what trips you up is like your thoughts about the thing, right?
The
Like,
repetitive thoughts about
yes. Like, oh my gosh, you know, like I, you know, there's a conversation that I need to have with someone and like, yeah, it's kind of rolling over in my brain. I don't know how it's actually going to go, but the worst part of it is me thinking about it, you know,
Sure, the
like
unknown.
the unknown. And it's like, you don't have to work. I don't know. We spend so much time focused on stuff that we don't need to focus on. Like, just
Sure,
be
it's none of our
present.
business. That's where I've
It sure
gotten
isn't.
to.
It sure isn't.
I'm like, you know what? That is none of my business until it's my business, and I really
Yes.
need to let it go.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah. So.
So, self-care
Yes.
is so important. And as I'm moving into this new space and navigating some things and learning different portions about myself, I'm realizing that, and we've talked about this privately before, that self-care in itself, the fleeting moments of self-care, don't really serve me. Like a bubble bath situation or go get your nails done. Like, that's not really my zone. Because I'm working towards ensuring that I'm acknowledging feeling 24/7. So I'm living a life of self-care. And in doing so, I can show up for the people in my life more presently and for myself. So you recently hosted a self-care
I
retreat,
sure did.
and
With
I'm
my friend
honored to
Lorelai.
have been in attendance with
Oh,
Lorelai. Yes, man, she's
yes.
lovely.
Yes, I love her.
So will you tell everybody a bit more about the event, what you offered, and what was planning something like that like for you?
Yeah, so the self-care retreat. Lorelai is someone that I've known for years now. I met her through my husband, and I love her very much. And it's so funny, we just connected on this level of you know, yoga and wellness, and like mental health. And she's a doctor, she works in the mental health field. And I don't know, I think we were just hanging out, like we just hang out, you know, and do yoga. And then she was like, what if we do this thing? And I was like, yeah, all right. And then we just started brainstorming, and it was like, what if we did this day of self-care, right? Because, you know, self-care was a buzzword, and like every, you know, there's a million and one articles on, you know, go take a bath, go do your nails, put on some comfy socks, curl up with a candle and your favorite book, like whoop-de-woo. And
Sure.
it's like, okay, no, okay, that's the surface level stuff. Like when we were talking, we were finding out like, no, it's a deeper thing, and it comes down to worthiness. It comes down to asking permission. It comes, there's
Yeah.
so much more, having a partner and navigating self-care while having a partner, while having a kid, like while having all these different things in your life that
Layers.
are, yes, like
Sure.
we're onions, right? We got a million and one layers, you know, we're all so different. And so it's like, what if we created an experience where we kind of get down to those deeper layers and really just kind of figure out and talk about, you know, in this circle of what are really our barriers to self-care? Like, what are these attitudes or this mental process, right? And so I was like, ooh, you know, I teach yoga. It's like, what if we do yoga and meditation? And she's a therapist, so it's like, you know, let's do like journaling prompts. Let's do journaling prompts. What else did we do? Oh my gosh, that feels like so long ago.
I know.
Oh my
It
gosh.
was a couple months, I
It was a couple
suppose.
months, but not that long.
So we did the sound
We did
bath.
the sound bath. So the sound bath was added kind of afterward. I went to the healing space, so Kavala Wellness, this gorgeous, beautiful healing space in downtown Long Beach. They have a like a community day where they offer services at a reduced rate. And so I went and I got the sound bath and I was like, oh, this would be perfect for the group, you know, like, oh, we're gonna do yoga, meditation, journaling, like, yeah, sound bath. And so I asked this
Perfect.
couple, Illuminate Life, they're a lovely couple, and they're like, yeah, we would love to, you know, participate. And I was like, cool. And then we were like, okay, we're gonna serve lunch. And then Lorelai did the training in that the soul collage work. And so so we felt that it would be important to have everyone kind of have like a physical takeaway and a reminder of the experience, right? So of like of yeah so and then so we set up the day where it's like, okay, we're gonna like get into our bodies, we're gonna get into the room, we're gonna just be really present with each other. And we really just wanted to create a space. Really, the most powerful part of everything was just the people that were there and just everyone just showing up, honestly, and just being vulnerable and sharing. And like, just we in our culture and our society today, like, we've kind of really lost this just sitting in circle, just sitting together without, you know, with it not being like a birthday or a holiday or a thing, or where we're like drinking or you know,
Just
having.
sitting in community in
Yes,
general.
we don't do that. Like, we don't do that. So really, I feel like that was the most powerful part of the whole experience. And we were just kind of facilitating. But so, you know, we met, Lorelai and I got together maybe like 3 times, and it would be really chill. Like, we hung out at the Colorado Lagoon, like sat on the grass and stared at the water, and just, you know, we just talked and just we kind of went through it. And then so part of it, like, I also needed to show up and do my own self-care work. And so I had to really think about, like, what does that look like for me? Like, oh, that means taking regular yoga classes. That means, you know, doing body work, or doing, going to sound baths, or going, you know, going to these healing spaces over and over. Like, I went to the Salt Lounge, which is a great place.
Salt Lounge is awesome.
Oh my goodness. Like, I'm getting Reiki. I'm getting this. Like, girl, your girl is everywhere doing all of the things. Like, because it's like, you know, in order to hold that space, and facilitate something like that, like, I gotta get my shit together. You know, I can't,
Absolutely.
because I need to be present. Like, there were 7 or 8 of you. So it's like, that's 7 or 8 people. Like, I am there with you. I am listening to you. We are, you know, facilitating and doing this whole thing. So, oh my gosh, it was just so much better than we could have imagined. And I was just
Oh, it's so
so happy.
magical.
It really was.
Yeah,
It
it
really
was
was.
so magical. So, what was your personal takeaway for the event? Because I sometimes find it hard if I'm planning something to show up and be present and be actively involved as well. But I think you and Lorelai both were very much wide open and receiving and giving the
Thank
whole entire
you.
time. Yeah, for
Thank
sure.
you.
How was it for you?
It was, oh my gosh. Like, I was so lit up. Like, I no, you know, I you know, it was a 6-hour long thing. And so
It went so
it went
fast.
so fast. But so it's like,
I rarely have 6 minutes alone, so to have had 6 hours was insane for
it
me.
flew by. It flew by. But like, for me, so, you know, for me standing back, like, the experience was 6 hours long, but, you know, my day started way earlier, you know, as far as like getting everything together. And then, like, after everyone left, like, then, you know, I get to clean up and do this whole thing. So, like, my day was so long, but I was so just, elated. Like, I just floated out of there. Like, it just reaffirmed for me, like, this is what I want to spend my time doing. Like, these are the spaces that I want to be in. These are the experiences that I want to
Absolutely.
create. Like, this is what leads.
Likewise, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, yes. So
Absolutely.
this year, so I do have a lot of like stuff in the works, for this year. And just really specifically on my heart, like, I want to be in spaces that need the most support, which is, you know, women, people of color, Black and brown folks, men, like we need each other. We need to see each other. We need to talk to each other. And just kind of say, hey, like, I see you. Like, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, do you need, do you need a hug? Do you just need me to like, just a hello, and not like, oh, I need something from you or whatever. It needs to be this interaction. Like, just say hi.
Los Angeles is tough. It's tough.
Yes.
In the sense that, forming authentic, genuine connections with people.
Yes.
It's so hard when it's such an industry city. Mm-hmm. And even though the art of creation is intended to be a gift, it gets convoluted in so much ego and the need to survive, because it's very expensive to live out here.
Oh yeah.
And so I think when it comes to being able to just be an ear or a heart or grant space for people, it's really tough in this area for people to even receive it.
Yes.
It's so interesting. And especially when it comes to yoga, the healing portion of it is sometimes so whitewashed that I think representation is often ignored. And I think it might discourage people who don't fit within that image, you know?
Absolutely.
What is your viewpoint on people who don't think yoga is for them? How can they embrace the practice?
Oh my goodness, it's for you.
Right?
Oh my goodness, if you're breathing, yoga is for you. And that's another thing that I'm really glad that you say, that I also bring up, of like, you hear the word yoga and you picture like, you picture a skinny white woman in really expensive, like a two-piece yoga outfit on the edge of a cliff with the water splashing up on her. Like,
right.
No.
I've been a hot mess, beached on some pillows, prepped.
Yes. It is not like it, that is not what that is. Like yoga. And it, so sometimes depending on the audience, I'll be like, it's stretching. Dude, we're stretching, we're breathing, we're just moving our bodies a little bit. So I've taught in spaces, like I've taught in high schools, I've taught lunch break yoga, like in an office. I've done yoga in a skirt, you know, at a desk.
Yeah.
With all kinds of bodies. I taught a class one time. I did a private class. It was actually my boss, and she was helping me out. Like when you're doing your teacher training, you do free classes. And so I went to her home. My boss, she's 67. So she had a hip replacement. So it was my 60-year-old boss with a hip replacement, her 60-year-old husband that has neuropathy, her niece, like 30-year-old niece, a 6-year-old who's like overweight, her 80-year-old mom, who like can't stand. And then her sister, who was actually, she's large, in a larger body and really has mobility issues and sat the whole time. And I taught them yoga for an hour, you know, and it was amazing. Like it was so wonderful to see all the different bodies in all the different capacities, of like, it's really not that big of a deal. We're breathing, we're moving our little arms, moving our little legs.
Absolutely.
And the sister that, you know, has mobility issues, like she was sitting in the chair and she was moving her neck with us and doing what she could. And she felt great afterwards. And it's like, you don't have to have the fancy clothes. You don't have to look any type of way. You don't have to, you know, be able to touch your toes. I always say, when people say, well, I'm not flexible, I'm like, well, you're never too dirty to take a bath. Like you, it makes no sense. Like just start breathing, just start moving. Like what right now, what's really killing people. Like it's not the smoking or the diet, it's being sedentary. So I really love Katie Bowman. She's a biomechanist. I'm really like, I actually don't work out that much. Like I really don't. And I do yoga.
Listen, yoga and climbing the tiny house ladders and chasing my son, it seems to be okay.
But that's the thing. Like people think, and like, look, fitness is great. We like, yes, work out, go to the gym, do the things, but like, your whole life, like, again, I'm building a life where like, I am moving all the time. I'm moving my body all the time. If I'm sweeping, I squat all the way down and I get really close to the floor. When I'm folding clothes, I fold clothes in a squat. Right now I'm sitting on the ground. Like it, so I can sit on the ground for a long time with my legs crossed. I can stand up without using my hands. These are all things that sound small, but like, try it. Like, can you stand up from sitting without using your hands? Like, these are mobility things. Like, I have really good balance. I'm strong. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, and these things, like, I am not pumping iron. I incorporate movement in my whole day. Right.
Wellness through movement. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
So what suggestions do you think you could offer other yoga teachers, to diversify their offerings in terms of accessibility, inclusivity?
Ooh, that's a great question. It really would depend, I guess, on the space that they teach. So like I personally teach in a park for free once a week. And so I think honestly just talking to people, and I anyone I meet, I'm like, I'm a yoga teacher. And then, they'll make their comment, right? Of like, oh, well, I can't do yoga because X, Y, Z. And then I'm like, well, no, but that's not true.
Right.
So I really think, honestly, like just for other yoga teachers out there, is that just talking about it in a way that makes sense to people. Like I really enjoy teaching brand new people. Like I love beginners. A lot of teachers, that's the thing. Teaching beginners yoga is so freaking hard. It's so much harder than the advanced stuff, because once you have an advanced student, like I know what a downward facing dog is. I know what you mean when you say like pull your belly button to your spine or move your triceps this way. Like you don't have to explain something twice. You don't have to baby me through it. But I mean, so I taught yoga 2 weeks ago, and I had my one student was a teacher and my other student, brand new person. And I said, oh, legs up the wall is a great pose. And she goes, how do you do that? And I kind of laughed. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such an asshole. I'm like, well, freaking duh. You like throw your legs up the wall. Like it's so apparent. And she was like, and she wasn't deterred. And she looked at me and she smiled and she's like, can you demonstrate? And I was like, yeah, actually I would love to demonstrate. So I got my butt up and we were by a palm tree and I was like, okay. And I walked and I talked through the whole thing. Right. And it took me like 3 minutes to like walk through how I got into the pose, all these different things. Oh, you can put a pillow under your butt. You can move your legs in this way. Getting out of it is really important. Right. Like all these in between moments of like, it's not just the pose. It's what you do before and after. It's these pauses. Yes. It's creating the space. And then I got up and I looked at her and I was like, thank you for asking me to demonstrate that, because here I was like laughing like an idiot, like, oh yeah, well you just throw your legs up the wall. And I'm like, no, like, literally every single posture, even standing in mountain, which looks like standing, like
it's harder than you think.
It is so, like, oh my gosh, move your kneecaps around, move your feet around, like feel where your hips are in space, feel where your shoulders are in relation to this. Feel how your pelvis is. What is your head doing? Like, do all of this over and over. Scan your body. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to breathe. And maybe smile. Right. Okay, now let's move. Like, it's... I think it's that thing of, like, don't... It's so easy to take something for granted. And it's so easy when you've done something a million times to be like, oh, yeah, well, you just... do this pose or move your foot this way. And I say it all the time of like, just show up to your practice like you've never been here before. Like you've never put your body in this shape, and like, just explore. And like, your body is different every day. Like maybe you've been sitting more, or maybe you've been working out more, or maybe you're sore or whatever. Like, you know, my body, sometimes I'm really, really strong, or sometimes I'm not as flexible. And so I try to not get ego about when my body's being real good, you know, like, and then in the same way, like, I don't beat myself up if like, well, I can't, you know, do the splits like that easy today. Like, of like, dude, our bodies, they do so much for us. of like, just be kind, like be kind to your body, be kind to the body
Yeah.
that showed up today, be kind to your mind. A big help has been like, treating myself like I'm my best friend, right? So like, if
Yes.
I fuck up, like, what would you say to your friend? Would you be like, oh, you're so
Yeah,
stupid, you're
show
so
up for
stupid, you're
yourself,
so
right?
fat? Like, no, you'd be like, girl, you are probably so tired. Do you need some water? Like, what can I do for you?
Right,
Like,
have
baby girl,
you
yes, halt.
eaten?
Oh my gosh, halt was something that I learned at Codependence, which is, are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And it's like, yeah, it's like when you're feeling,
Usually.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Consuelo, I want to go back to something you said about your student asking you to demonstrate.
Yes.
Because I think that is a big block for a lot of people when it comes to yoga, is the fear to ask for help
Yes.
and the thought that it should be assumed that they can follow along if something is in Sanskrit, or if they're just, if it's a flow class and you're there to bust ass,
Yeah.
I think society kind of conditions us that if we ask a question and show that we don't know something, we're then saying we're vulnerable or less than,
Yeah, yeah.
And yoga is just not that practice. It's
Yeah.
such a special place to show up as you are.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a cool experience you had, because I think your student and you both learned lessons that it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to not know, and okay to ask,
Yeah, that's, and I'm so glad that you bring that up, because I do tell people all the time where they're like, you know, they've never done a class before. And I'm like, look, YouTube. I'm like, go to YouTube, type in beginners yoga. I'm like, I love yoga with Adrienne. And I'm like, just watch it. I'm like, watch it, try it at home, try it in the privacy of your own home. So you like start learning the lingo, or start, you know, seeing what the shapes look like. If you're gonna feel embarrassed, like I felt embarrassed the first time I went to a yoga class. Like, I did yoga alone in my living room for a year before I ever went to a studio. And studios
Oh,
can be
for sure, me too.
intimidating. Yeah, studios can be intimidating, because you never know. Like, you don't know the culture when you show up, right? Like, and if you're in a space where, like, okay, I'm a brown person, I'm in a larger body, I don't have like nice clothes, and I show up and it's like, it's all not people that look like me, and no one's talking to me. And so I totally get it. Like, I really understand that it can be really intimidating. And I tell people, like, look, everybody thinks, like, when you're new, you think everybody's looking at you. Like, you think
They're not.
no one is looking at you. Trust me, no one is looking
Everyone's
at you.
so self-absorbed, they can't even be bothered with what you're doing.
Absolutely. Like, unless you fall over into them or whack them in the face, they really don't care. So I tell people, I'm like, no one's really worried about what you're doing. The teacher, on the other hand, is going to be looking at you, because they want to make sure that you're safe. They want to make sure that you're not going to hurt yourself. And so it can be like intimidating if maybe they want to offer an adjustment, or, you know, kind of are kind of giving you a little extra attention. And just know, like, you know, our job as a teacher is to lead you through this practice in a safe way. Like, we absolutely don't want you to hurt yourself. And so, you know, just don't take it personally. You know, we want to help you. But yeah, just no one's watching you.
Nope, not
No
at
one's
all.
watching you. You know, maybe just make sure your pants aren't see-through, right? Like, if you're gonna do I do the test with my husband, where I'm like, are my pants see-through? And I like bend all the way over. Yeah, and I'm like, look at my butt. Is it, can you see my butt? It's like, no. I'm like, perfect. Okay. Like, that's about it. Or like, as a teacher, like, I'm just mindful of like what my top looks like. Like, I want to make sure my breasts aren't out. Like, that's, you know, like, just for me, those are just like practical things, which, like, move around, like, put on your outfit and move around. Like, are you in a big old t-shirt? Are you in loose jeans? Like, again, I've done yoga in like any and every outfit that you can imagine. Like, it just any outfit is a yoga outfit, as long as you're moving
It's
around
such
in
a
it.
show up as you are
Yes.
kind of practice or sport or whatever you want to call it. And I think when you really just settle into it being a different experience for every single person, you're able to embrace the whole entire idea of it more.
Exactly.
That's neat. So you mentioned that as we get into the new year, you want to incorporate more in-person offerings. Mm-hmm. Do you set intentions or goals or resolutions for the year as we, you know, flip over to 2020?
Yeah. Well, it's so fun. I laugh because I'm in the process of doing my vision board. And so the first wasn't really like a big deal for me. Like I actually kind of am more in line with the moon cycle. So like I kind of pay more attention to like new moon, full moon type cycles, or sort of like for the winter solstice. The solstice, I did 108 sun salutations. So that for me was like a big practice that I did. And honestly, just kind of, I take cues from nature, right? So right now it's the winter time. So it's really been this time has really been really introspective for me and like really sitting with like my past year and what I did. Like I actually accomplished a lot. And then so thinking about like what I want more of. And so I just kind of jotted down, I just did like a brain dump of like, ooh, this is what I want to do. And so right now I'm in the process of like now looking over all the stuff that I want to accomplish and kind of things that I've already set in motion with people, with partners. Like I've got an event in February that we're talking about. I've got a podcast that we're talking about. I've got like a fire and yoga thing that I'm talking about for March. So there's like all these pieces. And so it's there's so many little things. So that's, it's just so a matter cool. of, and it's so funny. I just make time every day to like dabble a little bit and stuff. Like these larger things, they really don't take that much time to plan. Like it doesn't take as much work as people think. Actually,
it's the doing a little bit every day. Yeah. If you can apply it that way, I'm finding really knocks out a lot of goals.
Yeah. Like I read usually like 4 books at a time. So like I will read 10 pages a day from this book and move on. Like, okay, I got this thing. Okay, cool. Yep. And then it's like, okay, I have to send this email. All right, I got that. Like, okay, I need to reach out to this person. And then it's like, well, okay, this thing is in March, and just kind of knowing, okay, well, I don't need that much time to do that. Or we can wait a week. Like I don't have to worry about that thing. And so more of it, I'm finding that like, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So so what it is, like I'm kind of really just going with the flow and just knowing, trusting, like, okay, I have been living and breathing this stuff for 8 years. Like I'm prepared. Like, you know what I mean? Like I have all my books and my notes and things that I can brush up on, but I mean, it just doesn't take that much planning for me to show up for a class. Like, you know, I'll meditate right before. But it's really, and another thing is, asking for help and knowing, like, I don't know how to do everything and I don't have to, you know, and just knowing, like, I love helping my friends. Like I get so excited when people ask me stuff where they're like, Consuelo, where did you get that thing? Or how do you do this? Or where do you, or like, what's a book that you can recommend? And I get so happy. I'm like, yes, oh my God, let me, and I'm just like, let me tell you this healing modality or this book or this place or like whatever. Like, I love sharing it. I love sharing the stuff that I learn. I lost my train of thought. But like, I got so excited about, my nickname is like the concierge. But I just get so excited to like share and be in the stuff. So it's literally, I'm always reading. I'm always checking my emails. I'm always like, I've got all kinds of stuff coming in all the time, right? Like, I'm passionate about the environment. Like, I am more passionate about the environment than I am about health and wellness.
Right.
Because, and it, and that,
and truthfully, yeah, it's all one and the same.
Yes, it is. Because
so connected.
You reach a certain point in, like, I can only do so much within my own physical space. And then you start looking at your house and then you're like, oh my God, but I need to like keep my house clean. And then you're like, wait, well, I can only keep my house as clean as like my community is clean. And then, and then you zoom out and it's like, well, you know, right now Australia is on fire. Like again,
so
whatever. So today I was like posting my little coffee cup, my reusable coffee cup on Instagram while like Australia is burning. And I'm like, The way my brain works is it's all connected. I'm passionate about the environment. That's why I use my little reusable mug. And every time I use my little reusable mug or I use my little hashtag, like shop small, shop local, like care about the environment, like a new person might see it and like it might spark something in them to be like, oh, well, why is she doing this? Or why should I care? Why should I do a reusable?
Sure.
Like Long Beach has really bad air quality. Like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Like, we have something.
Yeah, but how are you contributing?
Yes, how are you contributing? We have something called Cancer Corridor because we have the 710 freeway and like a lot of low income people live along the freeway and they all have higher rates of cancer. So it's just like all these things are connected. So like, why do I post when I ride the bus? Like, because we should all, you know, walk more or bike more or use public transportation. But LA isn't like the infrastructure really isn't like that. But
It's tough.
So I know people, my husband's like, you go off on tangents. And I'm like, no, it all makes sense to me.
It does because it's also connected. It's honestly, if we could take more time to look outside ourselves.
Yes.
And our personal experiences, I think we would be able to meet each other with more peace and understanding because I get it that people work hard for what they earn, be it monetarily or their physical things that they collect, but also those physical things sometimes negate somebody else's cause that they're passionate about. And so it's important to look at, you know, how we contribute in each way. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Before we wrap up, I'd love it if you would share with our listeners how they can connect with you outside of this podcast sphere.
Yes. So I do have my email, which is the yogawithconsuelo@gmail.com. And honestly, I'm most active on Instagram. And so that's also my Instagram handle is yoga_with_consuelo. And I usually, I like post on my story every day and it's really a big mix of like whatever's on my brain. So
love that. It's like my podcast.
Yeah. It goes all over. Like I got a dog, I got a husband, I got a guinea pig. Like I'm riding the bus. I'm riding. So like, you know, I'm like, who made your clothes? You know, like it just, it's everywhere. Or like today I was listening to a song cause I was feeling myself and I was feeling like a boss ass bitch. So I'm like real active in my story and that's really the best way. Like I interact there. I'm getting my website together and all that. So, in the meantime, that is the best way.
Perfect. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Kinda Hippie, Kinda Hood podcast. I'm your host, Siri Larice. Until next time. Bye-bye. Listeners, if you want to chat about today's episode, please visit my social media at Siri Larice on Instagram or Facebook and leave your comments or questions on the infographic posted for the corresponding episode. You can also visit my website, www.sirilarice.com, and click the contact page and do the same. That wraps it up for today's episode of the Kinda Hippie, Kinda Hood podcast. I'm your host, Siri Larice. Until next time.